The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Does 2 Corinthians 5:10, about the judgment seat of Christ, contradict Calvinism's teaching about perseverance? And can supporters of homosexuals and of abortionists be saved? A couple of great questions coming your way today on Grace in Focus. This is the radio ministry and podcast ministry of the Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you for joining us today. By the way, the Grace Evangelical Society is starting an online seminary that will be free for all who maintain at least a B average. You can earn an MDiv degree. For more information and to register, go to our website, faithalone.org. You will find there a tab for seminary in our navigation menu. Everything you need is right there, including how to contact us for more about the seminary. That's faithalone.org and find seminary in our navigation menu. I'll repeat this at the end of today's discussion, which starts right now. Here are Steve Elkins and Bob Wilkin.
What do you got? You got a question for us?
Yeah, I've got a question from Martin. He says, Dr. Wilkin, I was listening to a message by the late Dave Hunt, and this dropped into my head. 2 Corinthians 5:10 says that Christians will give an account, both, quote, good and bad, at the judgment seat. Does that contradict the P in TULIP, perseverance? Does that contradict the doctrine of perseverance that Calvinists have? Does this imply there might be soils 2 and 3 Christians in heaven?
Okay, so this is several different areas for Martin here. First of all, 2 Corinthians 5:10, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ
to give account of the deeds we've done in the body, whether good or bad.
Right. Now, that says nothing about the fact of whether all believers will persevere to the end in obedience to Christ or not. There's not a single Calvinist on the planet who believes that every believer has nothing but good works. They all believe that believers have bad works. But all true Calvinists believe that a believer will persevere to the end in both faith and good works, right?
Right.
That's a separate question. Mm-hmm. So I would say there's a whole lot of verses that show that perseverance is not guaranteed.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the whole book of Hebrews.
But 2 Corinthians 5:10 isn't one of them.
Right.
And so the whole book of Hebrews would be a good example. There's 5 warning passages in Hebrews. All 5 warning passages show that failure to persevere is possible.
Yeah.
Or even Paul in 1 Corinthians 9:27. Yeah. I read a thesis once at Dallas Seminary in which a DTS student who graduated wrote that Paul in 1 Corinthians 9:27 was saying he wasn't sure of his own eternal destiny.
Yeah.
Because Paul says, I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself might be disqualified, or Old King James, a castaway.
Right.
But the Greek actually is adokimos, which means disapproved. So the issue there is not his eternal destiny. The issue is whether he'll be approved at the judgment seat of Christ or not.
Yeah.
Will he hear well done or not? It's only at the end of his life, when he's in prison and he's a couple of weeks from being martyred, he writes, I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith.
Even in 2 Timothy 2, a verse we quote over and over.
Right.
But he says, if we are faithless, I believe that's a third class condition in Greek, meaning it could, might not happen, it might or might not. And he includes himself. You know, I could become apistos without faith. It's possible.
He remains faithful because he cannot deny himself.
Amen.
So once we believe, we're secure forever because of the promise of the giver of the gift of God. So there's a whole lot of verses in the New Testament that teach that perseverance is not guaranteed. And there are also a whole lot of verses that say that whether you persevere or not, you're eternally secure.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
But the other point that Martin brings up is the 4 soils.
Right.
In Luke 8:11-15, the Lord interprets the parable of the 4 soils. In the second soil, he says there's a type of soil which believes for a time, and then in time of temptation falls away. In my estimation, that verse, Martin, not 2 Corinthians 5:10, teaches that perseverance is not required or guaranteed.
Right.
Because he says, in the previous verse, Satan snatches away the seed lest they should believe and be
saved.
Right. So this guy believes for a time, which means he's saved either for a time or forever.
Yeah.
And we know from Jesus' teaching that salvation is always forever.
Right.
So he believes for a time, and then in time of temptation falls away. And it's interesting, the Lord doesn't say, is that an hour? Is that a year? Is that a decade? Is that 50 years? People can fall away at various points in the Christian life. That's why I would say, Steve, you and I, you know, been believers for 50 years or more, we're not guaranteed we're going to persevere, right?
Right.
If we ever get to the point where we think, okay, I've made it, then we got the wrong attitude. Because the Apostle Paul, he disciplined his body,
right,
knowing that he wasn't guaranteed to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. So we should never get complacent.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. You know, the book of Hebrews is written not just to believers or Hebrew believers, but to very committed believers. They suffered the plundering of their own goods, knowing this would produce for themselves a better inheritance in the kingdom. And some 50 times in that wonderful book, about 48 times, they are warned, even committed believers, not to fall away, drift away, come short, develop an evil heart of unbelief, et cetera, et cetera. Even committed believers are in danger of falling away. We're naive to think we're not.
Right.
But no one could have stated eternal security more clearly than the Hebrews writer. In chapter 10, talking about how we've been saved through one sacrifice once and for all, the fact is the Old Testament sacrifices prove that they were never saving and that they were offered year after year. If they could have ever saved us or cleansed our conscience once and for all, they would have ceased to have been given. Rather, the Hebrews writer says these only pointed to the once and for all sacrifice. So in chapter 10, verse 10 and verse 14, it says, by that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ. For how long?
And once and for all.
Once and for all. And then in 14, he says, for by one offering he has perfected forever those who are sanctified. We're sanctified through the offering of the body of Christ, of course, believing the message. We're sanctified, we're cleansed, it's done. And for how long is it? Forever. We're perfected forever.
So at the moment of faith, we're set apart into God's family forever.
That's right. And Christ doesn't have to be sacrificed over and over. It's once and for all. That's once and for all also.
Wait a minute. There are some people who believe in the crucifix, right? That Christ dies over and over. Every time we take communion, he dies for me again. But that's wrong.
It is wrong. Now, because Hebrews says it's wrong.
Right. Okay, I got a quick question here from MP. And it says, regarding your message, I think this is one that you and I gave on the radio, that addressed those who support homosexuality and abortion, you stated they could be saved. I agree they can be saved, but not while they consciously support such atrocities. If I understood you correctly on the program, you said these individuals could simultaneously be saved and supporters of homosexuality and abortion. You know that is not correct. Read the Bible. You're hurting those who listen to you and want to be accepted by God, but not follow his word. Ecumenicalism is a blight upon Christianity, and in fact, ecumenicalism is not a quality of Christianity. I think what she's saying is she equates saying that you're born again just as you are with ecumenicalism.
That's crazy, because our view is as exclusive as you can get.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, we are so condemned by the vast amount of people in Christendom, it seems like, because we believe we're saved by simply believing Jesus' promise. And so many people within Christendom don't believe that.
Right. Exactly. So what we're saying is anybody from any group or denomination that believes in Jesus for the free gift of eternal life gets it. And they don't have to be accurate on every aspect of theology, and they certainly don't have to turn from their sinful ways. If a person, I mean, this person picks out homosexuality, I don't know why. What about heterosexuals that sleep around before they're married?
Sure.
Isn't that sin?
Yeah.
Well, do they have to turn from that too? I guess this person would say yes. But the point is, if this were true, nobody could be saved, because don't we all have sins? And do we ever turn from all of them?
Yeah, that's excellent. Not only could we be screwed up in our theology, as we said in the last question, but we can be messed up in our behavior, too. I mean, we might come to Christ having come out of some bad stuff and still are involved in the bad stuff because we don't know it's bad yet.
I still remember Bill Counts telling the story about how he had a couple in his church came to him for counseling, and they said, Pastor, we've been in your church for about a year. We came to faith about 10 months ago and we're born again and we're so excited about it, but we heard you preach this last Sunday that sex before marriage or outside of marriage is sin. Well, we've been living together and having sex for years and we had no idea that was sin. What should we do? And his answer is, I would suggest one of two things. Either stop living together and stop having sex, or get married right away, and that solves the problem. And they said, oh, really? We can just get married and solve the problem? So he married him.
And it has nothing to do with their salvation.
No.
And so the lady might be referring to us discussing 1 Corinthians 6, which is very clear. Even a Christian who's been a believer for many years, maybe they're involved in drunkenness, extortioning, homosexuality, whatever it might be. If they continue living like that, one, they're not living out who they now are in Christ, washed, cleansed, justified. But what Paul is making clear is they're not going to inherit the kingdom to be a co-ruler with Christ, and that's very, very serious.
Right. There are consequences, but one of the things I think it's important to recognize is when we start anathematizing such people and say they're not even born again, it exacerbates the problem. People who've had abortions are in many cases the victims, are they not?
Right.
They've been duped by the culture we live in.
Yep.
In some cases, they go through guilt and that sort of thing. And I think they need to realize God forgives them. When they believe in Christ, they have everlasting life, and they start the Christian life with a clean slate. They're forgiven. They don't need to go around bearing all this burden. We love these questions. Keep them coming and keep
Grace
in
focus.
Amen.
The Grace Evangelical Society is starting an online seminary where you can take specific classes or earn an MDiv degree. First year Greek starts week of August the 6th. Many other classes start the week of August the 20th. Go to our website, faithalone.org. You will find there a tab for seminary in our navigation menu. Everything you need is right there, including professors, application deadlines, class schedules, and how to contact us for more about the seminary. If you're interested, we need to hear from you soon. For information or to register, that's faithalone.org and find seminary in our navigation menu. Would you be interested in some free ebooks on topics you hear on this program? Well, if you are, you need to come visit us at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. On the site, we've got all kinds of free materials, but one of our popular options is our free ebooks on a range of subjects. They're designed to help you mature and grow in your understanding of the faith and Scripture. So come visit us at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. We are so thankful for our financial partners who keep us on the air. Every gift is tax deductible and very much appreciated. If you'd like to find out how you can give, go to faithalone.org. Would you like to have a chat with Dr. Bob or one of the guests here on the program? Let me tell you how to reach out to the team. You can get us on our email address, which is radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. On the next episode, if we are not involved in evangelism enough, will we end up in hell? Please join us for the next Grace in Focus. This is the Grace Evangelical Society reminding you to always keep Grace in Focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.